Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. Josh Briscoe, Beards, Matt Derrick hanging out with us here. Sports Radio 810 WHB. What is up, man?
What is up? I don't know if I've ever been Twitched before.
Welcome to Twitch. Camera right there. That over there. That eye in the sky.
Hey. It's the eye in the sky.
They're never here lies. To watch Matt Derrick of ChiefsDigest.com.
The eye in the sky never lies.
Can we do the entire show with just this music looping underneath? I feel like this totally changes the vibe.
My vibe has changed.
Don't you feel like your vibe's changed?
My vibe has changed.
You're also not in St. Joe right now, which is probably pretty nice.
It's pretty comfortable, I'm going to say that. It is nice and cool in this studio.
What's a longer drive? To St. Joe from your house or to here?
You know what? It's almost the exact same.
I know. So I'm like, well, your day off, but you're still going to come down here.
It's
I appreciate it.
A few more miles to St. Joe, but faster.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Because of the speed and everything.
But
and
pretty much a straight shot, too, almost.
But yeah, no, it's almost the exact same amount of time. Yeah.
Interesting.
And yes, for some strange reason, I actually leave for St. Joe ahead of schedule and on time and arrive well before I'm supposed to be there.
Good for you.
Whereas here.
Well.
I just roll in whenever, you know.
That's your main job.
Be here before the beginning of the show, and I may not. Yeah. You never know.
I think if you're going to pick one to maybe be a little bit late for, I would probably go with this one as opposed to Chiefs practice.
Yeah. For those who follow me on the Twitter, you may know, I'm currently playing a game with Vitaly Gurman, one of the offensive linemen on the Chiefs. He does not know that we're playing this game.
Okay. Interesting.
But it's the game of who arrives at practice first. Because he's the first guy on the field every single
interesting.
Day.
Interesting. Okay.
And I've now started playing the game, and I post a picture every day about who got to the practice field first, me or Vitaly Gurman. And so far, I have only won 3 times.
That's awesome.
I have your push notifications turned on, I think. Why do I not? I feel like I've missed out.
Because you have muted the name Vitaly.
It's quite possible.
Gurman.
And I always start, I started kind of noticing this during, I noticed during the rookie minicamp. He's there out there every day. And then I just started keeping track a little, like maybe 4 or 5 practices ago.
Interesting.
So this entertains me. And hopefully he's listening now and knows
he does
that we're playing.
Yeah. So. He's the number one Vitaly
right now,
listener of the zone.
I am currently losing a game 8-3 against a guy who doesn't know that we're playing.
Well, look, he's playing a different game, which is impress the Chiefs.
Technically, it's 7-3 because I considered the indoor practice a push.
Yeah.
So
that doesn't count.
Technically, I probably would have won that day because I was ridiculously early.
It's soccer. You're 7-3-1.
I think at the very least you can make that a draw.
He's 7-3-1. Sorry. You're 3-7-1.
We'll call it. It was definitely a push. Yeah. There was no money paid out that day.
Wanted to give a shout out and pass along, up in your neck of the woods. I know not the same county, but Platte County.
Minnesota.
Sports Commission. Yeah, that's right. Platte County Sports
Commission. Typical Leewood types out here.
He's the one that said that. I just said up in your neck of the woods.
Yeah,
said that.
Platte County.
Believe me. I've got friends in Platte and Clay County.
I've got Platte friends.
There are parts of Platte County that are further away than the studio or St. Joe from my house.
But also, I've got plenty of friends up in that area that think I live in Oklahoma.
But
we would head down there, but we're not ready to take a weekend trip down to Oklahoma. Is the dirt orange around where you like? Okay, thanks, guy. But the Platte County Sports Commission Family Sports Festival is going on this weekend. It's also the tax-free weekend at Zona Rosa as well. Tomorrow from 12-3 is the Family Sports Festival. You can try out all the different sports at the Sports Zone. They got autographs with Slugger, Casey Blue, Casey Wolf's going to be there. Activities, prizes. They'll have a DJ, tons of giveaways as well. And you can stop by the Northland Sports Alliance tent. You can register your kids for all the fall sports and everything like that.
Very cool.
Going on this weekend, the Platte County Sports Commission Family Sports Festival presented by Dick's Sporting Goods. So that is going on tomorrow from 12-3. tomorrow practice going on for the Chiefs. So you won't be up there. You'll be further north of that. You'll be in, as Josh would say, Minnesota.
Pretty much, yes.
But it was fun when we would take a trip over to Minnesota from River Falls from time to time. You know, you would go west on a, like, hey, it's a day off tomorrow. You know what? Let's go tonight to a place in Minnesota.
That
Let's
was
go to
actually when it was the closest to Matt's house also, is in River Falls.
What was a quicker trip, here or River Falls?
River Falls before my time, so I never got to go to River Falls.
Dang. I've been three times, twice as a fan.
And once as a player going for a tryout.
Once, yeah, that's exactly right, yes.
You were Brock Middlebrook.
And that's exactly, yes, that was me. And then once as a media member with 810, yeah, in 07 with the Hard Knocks. I was there covering the Chiefs in the Hard Knocks time. So the first episode of Hard Knocks, I'm in the background.
We were enjoying some deal. Great Hard Knocks stories the other day with Adam Teicher.
Oh, really?
Goodness, yes. It has a billion of them.
By the way, Hard Knocks starts next week, right?
I think so.
And they put out a promo for Hard Knocks?
Oh, it's fabulous. It's in the cuts for later today.
Oh, it is the whole thing?
I think we got the whole thing.
Have you heard
there.
It? Have you heard it?
I have
yet,
not.
Matt?
No.
Dan Campbell, it's excellent.
Then let's hear it right now. Let's not wait for that. We can play it again in the cuts. It's
sure,
fine.
Sure, yeah.
The
that's
cuts
fine.
Are things that we've already played on the air this week anyway.
Absolutely.
Or have said on the air. So they have already been broadcast on the station once before the cuts. We have not played this clip yet.
No.
So let's play it for Matt. This was a preview of the Hard Knocks that's going to start next week with Dan Campbell. It's about 40 seconds or so, him addressing the team.
What are we? What makes us what we are and what we're going to be? It's our core foundation, man, grit. And what does it mean? In a nutshell, I think it means this. We'll go a little bit longer, we'll push a little harder, and we'll think a little deeper and a little sharper. It means we're unbreakable. Like, to me, it means we'll play anywhere. We'll play on grass, we'll play on turf, we'll go to a landfill. Doesn't matter. And that's what we gotta be. That's who we have to be. Because we'll tread water as long as it takes to bury you. Let's go to work, man. It's about to be fun. O&D.
Can I admit something shocking to both of you?
You love Dan Campbell.
Feel free.
I am unironically completely about Dan Campbell. I don't know how this happened, but I love it. He was out there doing up-downs with his team at training camp. And if any other coach did that, I think it would come off as really dorky and try hard. But I believe that Dan Campbell is holding back tears every time he speaks to his team because it's real for him.
I went from having fun at his expense when he was talking to then now enjoying playing the sound bites from Dan Campbell when he's talking. I also don't believe any of that because most of it's against the CBA. So they cannot go longer than any other team.
Yeah.
That is, and they cannot play in a landfill.
That's true. You're not going very far these
days.
No.
So that's not going to happen. So most of that is against the I feel like most of that's just talk.
We'll play you on a field that Shakira had a concert on the night before.
It's in a landfill.
The closest to the landfill I can think of.
Yeah.
I mean, I've talked to people who know Dan Campbell, and they say he is just like one of the best football people out there. He's a great person. You know, he's the kind of guy you want to root for and everything, yeah. And all these things. I just can't get away from the fact that Dan Campbell seems to me like he's the kind of coach you would go through a wall for if your team is 15-2.
Yeah.
And he is the kind of coach you would stab in the back if you're 2-15.
Yep.
No, he's the coach at 2-15 that you roll your eyes when he's talking to you.
Yeah.
Oh, geez,
yeah.
Here we go
again. I mean, it's like, here we go again.
Here we go again with the rah-rah stuff. Oh, yeah. Yep, I know. We're total grit, and we're arms and teeth and fingernails, and we're going to come at him like a tornado of piss and vinegar. That's what we're going to be.
And we're all out of vinegar.
They had a little bit of growth last year. If they win like 6 games this year, I think that the hype can continue for Dan Campbell. But you're 100% right that if once it's gotten stale, no one's going to want to hear a syllable of that. But right now, I'm all about restore the roar. I'm rooting for Detroit Lions Super Bowl championships in our future.
He's a much easier person to root for than Matt Patricia. Who was the,
God, yes.
I'm going to put the pencil in my ear, even though my play card is laminated. So that pencil does nothing. It's just going to be there just to show that I'm pretty smart.
Accessory. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to take full credit for the comeback against the Falcons. Well, look what I did in that down 28-3. What you did? Okay, sure. I don't think Dan Campbell's probably walking around. I think Dan Campbell's probably, he is who he is, and that's what he's presenting forward, not trying to recreate somebody else.
And I'll admit, I have a bias in this sense, in that I firmly believe that if you're hired by the Detroit Lions, you are probably a terrible head coach. But that doesn't mean he's not a great defensive coordinator. It just means that they probably hired him for a job that, you know, he's probably not going to be suited for in the long term.
Peter Principle. Ultimately, and that happens in the NFL, certainly.
Detroit's the king of that.
Yeah. Matt Derrick is, yesterday was the 24th anniversary of Barry Sanders retiring early. Yesterday or the day before? Sometime.
I know yesterday was the 29th anniversary of Robin Ventura getting his butt kicked.
Yeah, I saw that too. By Nolan Ryan. Robin Ventura going.
That was a great moment for my younger days.
I'm going to take on this 40-year-old man.
There was nothing like that.
Then just going to have dad strength and uppercut me as I'm the...
nothing like watching an old man
young
just
punk.
Kick the ever-living crap out of Robin Ventura.
And he told him to get off my lawn, which is odd. So Matt Derrick, Chiefs Digest, is our guest. Okay, so we've had a week's worth of training camp and practices, padded practices, things like that. Do you have a... You know, I know you've got a lot of observations, Chiefs Digest, all the different practices. Do you have like a bigger observation of what you've seen and maybe a developing theme that you have so far? And then there's about 20 other things I want to get into and talk about. But just in general, like as you've seen these practices and padded practices, is there a theme developing or a bigger observation so far?
I mean, I keep thinking about that. I'm like, you know, what has been kind of the story of this camp, and you know, who's been the star of this camp? Who's the MVP and all these things? I think those are all incredibly hard questions to answer, because by and large, this has been a very quiet, just efficient, you know, organized camp. I mean, there hasn't been, because it hasn't been like there's been a superstar. It's not like, you know, and I think about this in the perspective of Sky Moore, because there's been a lot of hype about Sky Moore, and I think largely deservedly so. But in my time covering the Chiefs, you know, the best rookie outside Mahomes that I've seen was Tyreek Hill. And do I see the same electricity from Sky Moore that I saw from Tyreek? No, it's not the same. I mean, Tyreek was on a whole different planet.
Right.
And that's not a knock against Sky Moore. It's just Tyreek Hill was ridiculous. But, I mean, it's just, I mean, this goes on down the roster. I mean, usually every year there's some guys who's like saying, okay, well, this guy doesn't belong. This guy's overmatched. I don't see a lot of that either. Mm-hmm. I mean, either this team is really, really good and just loaded, or... there's something we're not seeing, that there's just, maybe they're just not as good as we think. I mean, I don't think that's the case, but I mean, it's just across the board. I mean, there's 90 guys out there that I think have looked pretty good. I don't think there's anybody that's looked terrible. You don't see the offense isn't putting the ball in the field. I mean, you know, defense is making plays. I mean, and that's the only thing I could possibly say, is just that I don't know about this team. I don't know about the defense. I don't know anything. I think we need to see him on the field. I mean, I've been impressed, but I think that the theme of this camp so far has been that I don't know if there is a theme.
Because the view of this team is that they're good, and they're going to be one of the best teams, if not the best team in the AFC. Again, I'll stay with, you know, continuing to pick the Bills to win the Super Bowl this year. But Chiefs are right there, some other teams as well. Because we know that, this isn't a, boy, this team was bad last year. They're going to be better this year. We've seen the consistency of this team. I preface my thoughts with that because the fact that a couple practices it's Josh Williams, and then a couple practices it's Sky Moore, and then early on it was Juju and Patrick Mahomes connecting, and then, you know, George Karlaftis has been talked about. The fact that it's been different players that have been discussed at different times, to me, is more encouraging than that could be a bad thing too. Because of the fact that they're already a good team. So then you have different players that are like, this guy stood out, or that guy stood out at this practice, or, you know, Willie Gay, you know, bursting through the hole, Leo Chenal, you know, hitting Ronald Jones the way, you know, that he did, and these different things that we talk about. If this was a bad team, you could go, well, yeah, those guys are showing out, but, you know, look who they're lining up next to. Those guys all suck out there. So are they showing that they're pretty good versus them? And therefore, when they get on a field against a good NFL team, they'll just be okay? Or, okay, these guys are standing out at certain times on a team that's viewed as one of the best in the NFL.
Yeah, and And I'm gonna have my roster projection up this afternoon.
Nice.
And it would have been up earlier.
It's ChiefsDigest.com.
It will be at ChiefsDigest.com.
Which you'll tweet about on Twitter at Matt Derrick.
And you should get a notification that you can then share with others.
Certainly
will
should.
Vitaly Gorman retweet it?
I hope so. I should probably tag it with a photo.
You should.
And everything. So.
You know what? We'll retweet it, the Sports Radio 810 Twitter account, if I have anything to say about it.
Will he be the first one to read it? I guarantee reading it, you will beat him to that.
You never know.
Yes.
He's got some good fans out there. I will say that. Nice. He's got some fans. I've been hearing from his fans. So.
Good for him.
But they are vital.
There you go.
Your roster projection coming out later on today.
But, I mean, and the difficult thing is that, I mean, I've probably got like 58, 59 players that I'm down to. I mean, it's difficult. There's going to be some tough decisions here and there.
I don't think you can play with 58.
You can't. I mean, that's the
your
thing.
Your roster projections are 58 or 59. I think you're cheating.
And, you know, I mean, running back, receiver, defensive line, linebacker, defensive backs. I mean, I've got too many guys at all those spots, and I think have earned spots.
So I don't want to spoil the whole thing. I want people to go to Chiefs Digest, but do you have them keeping four running backs slash also a fullback and therefore only five wide receivers? Or are you going Burton and then Edwards-Helaire, McKinnon, Rojo, or maybe one of those guys gets cut and it's Pacheco and then you keep six wide receivers? Or is it no? Edwards-Helaire, Ronald Jones, Jett, and Pacheco have been so good, they're going with those guys, and therefore a wide receiver, they can only go with five.
That is, you know, but going into this process, I had in my mind six wide receivers, definite. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And maybe three running backs. And now that I've gotten into it and put it on paper and I'm looking at it, I'm like, you know, I have to keep four running backs for now.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if I can keep five receivers.
It was six.
Excuse me, six receivers. I'm not sure if I can. So that's a question.
That's going to be one of the bigger decisions
especially
that the Chiefs
make. Especially because, I mean, you're keeping four tight ends. I mean,
Absolutely,
there's no other way around that. But I'm expecting Brett Veach to make some moves because he's got the caliber, the ammunition to do this. So
the running backs in particular are the one thing that I think I can genuinely say I am surprised about the way this position group has panned out. I think running backs are the one at the top of my list because I bought that Ronald Jones was going to be a legit option on at least first and second down. And I felt like Pacheco was going to have a pretty tough road to making the roster. Dave Tobe talked about Isaiah Pacheco being the first guy for kick returns. Every report says that he looks excellent. And I haven't had anybody tell me that Ronald Jones has taken a handoff from Patrick Mahomes. I'm sure, I would imagine that he has at some point.
He has.
But it doesn't seem like he's done a lot of that. So that group in particular, I'm wondering what the mechanic is there.
Well, and this goes to maybe one of the broader themes of camp, which, you know, maybe this is the broad theme, which is that, I mean, the Chiefs can't figure anything out either, which is why there is so much rotation going on. I mean, it's why you are seeing Josh Williams and then Jalen Watson one day. It's a reason why Ronald Jones is the number two running back one day, and the next day he's fourth. You know, you've got to test it out. You got to see, you know, how all these pieces fit. And, you know, and there's some positions. I mean, offensive line is interesting in the sense that just with the backups, that it's the left guard, center, and right guard rotates every single day with the number twos. I mean, it's a different player. I mean, because, you know, between Austin Ryder, Nick Allegretti, and it was Mike Caliendo there for a while. Now they've rotated some other guys in there too, but I mean, it's just a different face. I mean, they're all three of those guys are playing all three positions. I mean, it goes back to the cross training and everything. But again, cornerback's been one of those spots. Defensive line's been another one of those spots where you're seeing some guys. I mean, we've seen Mike Dana kicking inside quite a bit, which is maybe a little bit counterintuitive. But it goes back to, once again, I mean, they're trying to figure out if you're going to keep an extra defensive end over a defensive tackle, well, some of those guys are going to be able to kick inside every once in a while. I mean, it's across the board, but Pacheco's a great example because Isaiah Pacheco coming into this camp, I was probably about 75% he's making the squad. And then once you saw, especially the fact that, you know, what he's doing in returns and what everything, I mean, he's 99%. And that could change at a heartbeat. I mean, if this kid goes out and fumbles against Chicago on a kick return, I mean, that's just all it takes. I mean, Corey Coleman, I had probably 90% to make this roster.
Really?
3 days ago.
Really?
Because he was catching everything in sight. He was on special teams. he was just having a tremendous camp. And it looked like he was maybe the top contender to be the punt returner. And then goes out, fumbles a kick on the first punt return, and then Dave Tobe goes to the podium and absolutely buries him underground.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's just how quickly things can change. I mean, you know, Devin Key was the same way last year. This was a guy that, you know, had such an incredible camp, was tremendous. And we were all putting him on the 53. And then, you know, the young kid goes out there and has a rough game and needs a hug. And all of a sudden, it's not there anymore. I mean, that's just how quickly these things can change in camp.
The Dave Tobe might have the biggest say in whether they go six receivers and three running backs slash one fullback, or they go five receivers and four running backs slash an extra fullback as well, because Juju, MVS, McColl, and Sky Moore are on the team. There's four. If you're getting to 10, if you're getting to 10, running back room, including a fullback and also wide receivers as well. If you're getting to 10, Burton's on the team. They love a fullback. I can't imagine Andy Reid just saying, well, we want to
Mike
keep
Burton's
Pacheco.
Making this team.
Yeah, so Burton's on the team along with Juju, MVS, McColl, and Sky. There's five. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is on the team. There's six. So now you got four spots left.
Who's your number two running back? Who's the running back you're second most confident?
Well, that's what I'm getting to. Is so you got Jet, Rojo, and then Pacheco. That would take you to nine if you went that route. So you'd have one spot left at wide receiver. Or is there a chance they move on from Rojo or Jet and Pacheco becomes Jerick McKinnon? Edwards-Helaire and Rojo are sort of redundant. And therefore, if they needed somebody, then maybe Derek Gore can make it on the practice squad. And if Rojo is let go and then somebody goes down and you need that, you slide Derek Gore up from practice squad or something like that. Is there a chance that one of those top three we're talking about, Edwards-Helaire, McKinnon, and Rojo, may not be on this team when cutdown time comes?
There's definitely a chance. And Rojo stands out, and I don't know how much of it is simply because we're tainted a bit by the past of the C.J. Spillers and the Carlos Hydes,
yeah,
you know, that come through here and either don't end up making the squad or get traded, because that just seems too natural. I mean, and you certainly know that there's teams around the league that are going to lose some starting running backs. And one thing I always say is that teams overvalue their own running backs, especially some young guys. I mean, that's why I say, hey, Derek Gore has been around the league for a little while, was very impressive with his team. But could you get a Derek Gore through waivers on the cut down to 53 and onto a practice squad? Yeah, because there's probably a Derek Gore on every single team, and every single team thinks that they have Derek Gore or better.
And every single team is going, I hope our Derek Gore makes it to practice
exactly.
squad.
Exactly.
And everybody's like, yeah, you can have one practice squad.
Yeah.
Right? We got our own.
And you know what? The reality is Derek Gore may be the best Derek Gore there is in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But Rojo's
he's
not.
He's the best.
I mean,
he's the best Derek Gore in the world. He's his only person. There's only one of him in the world.
I think he's the best running back named Gore in NFL history.
But the one thing Ronald Jones has that Derek Gore doesn't, he's got a 900-yard rushing season. I mean, he's got that experience. So there's a team in the league that, hey, they're going to lose their running back. They're going to lose some depth. And suddenly guys like Rojo become very valuable. And that's why, and once again, maybe it's the Carlos Hyde experience kind of squeezing in again. But it seems like with the depth of that group, it is going to be hard to keep them all.
Yeah.
And honestly, I mean, based on what we've seen, and once again, I mean, this is counterintuitive to my whole teams overvalue their running backs. I'm not sure, especially if he has a good preseason. I'm not sure Isaiah Pacheco makes it to waivers.
Well,
so that's a guy you could probably have to keep.
The running back thing is so interesting to me, and we'll take a break and come back and talk about a few other things as well. But it becomes interesting because Edwards-Helaire is there. They're not moving on from him. And people like Pacheco. I thought McKinnon should have got more opportunities last year, you know, before he was injured. And I'm glad he got the opportunity in the playoffs to show what he could do and average 6.5 yards per touch for this team and be a number one running back when the opportunity called upon him. And then there's Ronald Jones. So they've got a healthier running back room to me, or more talented running back room, than they did going into the 2019 season when it was Damian Williams and Darwin Thompson and Carlos Hyde and then LeSean McCoy, ultimately. And they cut Carlos Hyde and took a $900,000 dead cap hit.
Traded him. I don't remember if they got back. But
exactly. But they moved on. Yeah, you're right. They traded. I keep saying they cut him, but they traded Carlos Hyde, and they took a $900,000 dead cap hit. Moving on from Ronald Jones would be a $750,000 dead cap hit. So they've proven in a year where they had less talent that they would take the $900,000 dead cap hit to get something back.
750, 900 for a draft pick is actually not a bad deal.
To get something back that they've done it before with less talent when they've got Edwards-Helaire and McKinnon and they really like Pacheco. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if they say, we got to keep this six wide receiver, the Corey Coleman or Josh Gordon or something, because Justin Watson feels like maybe that he's going to be on the team because of the love that Dave Tobe was giving him. So if they're going these four and then Justin Watson is our Marcus Kemp, we've got to come up with a number six, or we trade Ronald Jones or Jet, you know, and Pacheco can be what Jerick McKinnon was, and we get a draft pick back or somebody that's on the end of somebody else's roster, and it's like a Pat Anger for Charvarius Ward, something like that.
That's exactly.
Who's Pat Anger?
Well, who was the Anger that was traded
Parker.
For?
Parker. Anger. Parker. And the Chiefs got Martinez Rankin back for Carlos Hyde.
He was
Hyde,
so
by the way.
Close, though.
Martinez Rankin?
Yeah. Martinez Rankin for Carlos
Anger.
Hyde.
He got Anger right, so it I wasn't going to say anything.
Parker Anger for
Devon,
Trevor.
For C-Dub. Devon Anger. I got it. Actually, it was Richard Anger.
That's right.
Seymour. So I've said Richard Seymour instead of Richard Sherman today.
A lot of Freudian slips.
And Pat Anger for Parker Anger. It was close.
And you know, Sigmund Freud, Sigmund is not technically his first name.
Damn, that's a good call. It's probably,
it's like Jeff. Sigismund.
It's Jeff. It's like Mike. It was
nicknamed
like
an
Sigmund.
Extra IS in the middle of it. Yeah. But his middle name is Shlomo. So.
Sigismund Shlomo Freud.
Sylvester Morris was, but his nickname was Shlomo. All right, so that's going to be it to see how those 10 players stack up. Because do you think Watson is sort of like, if we look at the four wide receivers, Juju, MVS, McColl, and Sky, if there's one more and only one spot left, Dave Tolb has a pretty decent, you know, weight for deciding the end of the roster guys. It seems like he really likes Justin Watson.
Yeah, I mean, to me, looking at the roster right now, it's the top four that have separated themselves. And then you have Justin Watson. And then you got a bunch of other guys.
Yeah.
So to me, I mean, Watson, I think, is pretty much, once again, it is in the, as long as nothing happens in the preseason that changes things dramatically,
yeah,
I think he's nailed down that number five spot.
And also, if there's a bunch of other guys that haven't really surfaced or shown that we got to keep this guy, well, then you probably just go with the four running backs.
But again, I mean, it comes down, special teams plays a huge role because, yeah, I mean, if you need a punt returner, if you've decided that maybe Sky Moore and Tobes talk about Trent McDuffie. Maybe those two guys are going to play too much that you don't want, and you're not going to have McColl Hardman returning punts. Well, all of a sudden, maybe Corey Coleman is your guy.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got enough special teams players around that you don't need that sixth receiver to play special teams, maybe Josh Gordon makes a case.
It makes Pacheco and McKinnon more valuable to not trade away because McKinnon was a good special teamer last year.
There you go.
And Pacheco, they certainly like in that area as well.
And to Josh's question earlier, made me think about, you know, who is the number two running back on this team? I can't really make a case for that right now, but I can make a case that one of our perceptions coming into this, which was generally, you know what, hey, this might be a work, you know, load share between Clyde and Rojo,
committee,
that maybe it's like 50-50. Right now, I mean, I would say that it doesn't matter who the number two running back is. Clyde's going to get 75% of the work.
Yeah.
I mean, he is definitively the guy.
My prediction is that the number one running back is Edwards-Helaire. The number two running back is Ronald Jones. The third down back is Jerick McKinnon. But if Edwards-Helaire goes down, McKinnon becomes the number one running back, and Ronald Jones still stays at number two. That's my prediction.
And maybe Isaiah Pacheco leapfrogs them all. Who knows?
Could be.
I mean,
yeah,
it is. It's
or maybe
it's
he's
anybody's
just a
guess to me at this
or
point.
Or maybe he's a fun first 10, 11, 12 days of camp darling, and at the end of preseason, we're like, oh, yeah, remember when everybody loved Isaiah Pacheco? But
it's always possible.
It's too many
he
people
not,
that have talked about him.
Bless his heart, he is not Jesse Haynes, though.
Yeah.
Well, he's the real deal.
Bless his heart or Jesse Haynes' heart?
Bless Jesse Haynes' heart.
I agree. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back and or Bobby Scipio. Different position, but you know.
That was a great conversation this week about Bobby Scipio.
You had a great conversation about Bobby Scipio at the practice?
Yeah, because, you know, as Tyshir was telling us, they had no idea that Bobby Scipio existed. I mean, the only reason that everybody was at camp thought he existed was because just how, you know, bad he was. And then they watch Hard Knocks, and all of a sudden, this guy's the second coming of Randy Moss. And they're are they watching the same practice that everybody else is?
No, they're cutting it up for TV.
Right. Yeah.
We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. I want to talk some defense with Matt Derrick and look at a positional group in Chiefs past to see how it ranks maybe with this year's group. We'll do that next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Let's go next to Matt Derrick. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Patrick. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Hey, you're working with a new center now. It's a bit
Yeah, he broke up. I don't know if that's just me or
Matt. We got you.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Josh Briscoe, Beards, Matt Derrick from Chiefs Digest joining us here in the zone, heading up until 2 o'clock. We'll talk with Daniel Lust at noon. He is the co-host of the Conduct Detrimental podcast, also a New York Law School professor, and the latest on the Deshaun Watson saga and appeal and case with the NFL. We'll get his thoughts on that, and then we'll talk with Trevor Sikkema coming up at 1 o'clock from Pro Football Focus. Looking forward to that conversation of a lot of offensive stuff I want to get into with him. I want to talk defense with Matt Derrick because, you know, we've talked for how long about how bad the linebackers have been for this team? Yearly? It's like, all right, linebacking core. It was like DJ, you know, and then who? And then you had Hitchens and Wilson, and it was like, you got to get through it. You know that they're not going to be. What did Stan Weber say? That Hitchens was really good at tackling the guy 4 yards downfield when they signed him from the Cowboys. That said, look, Hitchens is going to be the guy that he'll be there, and he will wrap the guy up, and he'll tackle him after he's 4 yards down the field. That's what Hitchens is going to do. He's going to be a leader that puts everybody in the right spot, but difference maker, no, that's not him. He's being paid to be that, but ultimately he's being paid to be somebody that can then take control of the defense as the linebacker. As we look at this group, so much praise for Nick Bolton and what he does. And Willie Gay, who is incredibly athletic and wants to lead the linebackers in interceptions this year. If this linebacking core looks anywhere near what we hope it could be with those two, and maybe even throw in Chennault as a guy that runs downhill and can't really run backwards yet, as Spags was talking about. How far back do you got to go before you remember a pair of linebackers playing on the same field that were like, yeah, that's a real, honest strength for the Chiefs, and it's not a average spot or a deficiency that you just had to sort of play through? Like, an actual strength for the team could be linebackers.
It's been a while, and I'm kind of probably excluding some 3-4 combinations because
I'm doing that because you had outside linebacker like Justin Houston and D Ford. I mean,
well, you had Justin Justin Houston and Derek Johnson on the field. Okay, yeah. But I don't. Yeah, Justin Houston but was down. Houston's, I mean, it was the line. He was defensive end. I mean, he was a pass rusher. So
in those with that, I would look at the two middle linebackers, which was DJ and Ragland. Or Ramiq Wilson or Josh Mauga. Or when DJ tore his Achilles, James Michael Johnson and Mauga.
I mean, when you have two, strong middle of the field type linebackers or sideline to sideline guys, I'm going back a ways. I mean, my memory is probably faulty, so I'm probably missing somebody, but man.
Here are the linebackers that started the most games. That were actual linebackers, not right outside linebacker that's a Justin Houston or left outside linebacker that's D Ford, actual linebackers. So going back, Hitchens, Wilson, and Gay in 2020, but it was really Hitchens and Wilson. Hitchens, Wilson, and Ragland in 2019. Hitchens, and then when it was a 3-4 before Spags, Hitchens and Ragland, DJ and Ragland, DJ and Ramiq Wilson, DJ and Mauga. Mauga and James Michael Johnson, because DJ's Achilles.
You say his name like a cartoon.
Mauga.
Yeah.
I thought it was Mauga. But
yeah, I kind of always... You add a syllable that makes it sound
like... I like adding syllables.
Mauga.
I like adding syllables, like angerer. I'm angerer than you are.
You sound like the sound effect that a cartoon Foghorn character Leghorn makes whenever he sees a female cartoon character.
Josh, the linebacker.
There you turn into Spags
Mauga,
at the end.
James Michael Johnson, DJ and Akeem Jordan, DJ and Belcher, DJ and Belcher, DJ and Belcher, DJ and DeMario Williams, DJ and DeMario, DJ and Donnie, second run.
But
that was 2007 Donnie.
Yeah, I know.
Not late 90s Donnie.
Yeah.
DJ and Kavika Mitchell, Kavika Mitchell, Scott Vegeta, and Sean Barber. That's before DJ now. Maslowski, Fujita, and Barber. Maslowski, Fujita, and Marvicus Patton. Now, I had to add that because there's a V before the C.
You got that.
Marvicus. Donnie Edwards and Marvicus. Donnie Edwards and Marvicus. Patton, Marvicus, and Edwards. Donnie Edwards, Wayne Simmons, and Anthony Davis. It's back in 1998 now. 97, Donnie Edwards and Anthony Davis. In 96, Tracy Simeon and Anthony Davis. And I keep going back.
Yeah.
Right? And we can keep going back. Because even those mid-90s Chiefs teams were, like, it was defensive line. The linebackers were good, but, like, the real true strength. Like, they weren't a deficiency, right? Because we've seen so many Chiefs defensive teams where it's like, outside of DJ, good God, the linebackers. Oh, yeah. Good luck with that. And even after DJ, it's like, yeah, Hitchens and Wilson, I mean, they're fine. Like, Wilson will come up and hit you, but is he a guy that you're going to say, you feel good at your linebacker spot, especially when they were paying him $18 million combined against the cap in 2020. Like, it's not only talking about what Bolton and Gay can be, it's talking about what they could be compared to what we've seen in a long time.
I mean, the ceiling is quite high.
Yeah.
I mean, the floor, I think the floor is probably some of those better combinations. I mean, I would think you would feel pretty good if you thought you were getting Donnie Edwards and Marcus Patton out of these guys. I mean, if you told me that that was just the floor that you were going to get, I'd take that to the bank right now. But, I mean, you do feel like the ceiling is quite a bit higher. Especially, I mean, to me, because of, you know, just, you know, what Nick Bolton did last year. I mean, the numbers were fantastic. I mean, rookies just don't normally put up those kind of tackle numbers. I mean, that's pretty good. And Gay, I mean, everybody has seen the potential. I mean, the athleticism is absolutely there. We just haven't seen it for a full season yet.
Yeah.
And you know what? I mean, it is not uncommon for young guys, you know, for it to be year three.
And he was also a guy that when he was brought in, it was like, yeah, it's going to take some reps for.
Yeah, I mean,
Willie
he was
Gay
a very raw football player coming in. He did not have a lot of college experience under his belt.
In fact,
he talked about that in his presser. He gave up on it. Yeah, and it, which like doesn't mean he gave up on trying to be good at football. But I thought that aspect of what he said there was sort of harmless honesty that we don't get
exactly.
Very often.
I mean, it was exactly. I mean, and I thought it was very truthful. I mean, and the thing is that I think there's a lot of guys that feel that way. And usually the guys that feel that way are usually pretty good players. They're just being hard on themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think we've seen a lot of those players who eventually do become really good players.
Well, Willie Gay in year three to me is more encouraging and a lot of hope. From what he's been in year one and year two, because Willie Gay specifically, his rookie year, was already viewed as a guy that, like, incredible athleticism, can run sideline to sideline, but he needs more reps as a linebacker. He needs to sort of the instinctual part of the game. It'll come as he gets more and more reps. Oh, here's a pandemic. And now everything's virtual. And now you're not getting those reps out there on the field. And you're not going through some of those things in training camp and preseason games. And, oh, by the way, here you go. Here's the NFL season, and it's Steve Spagnuolo's defense.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of those to where it's like, he's like, yeah, I just sort of gave up. And I think it's part of I'm giving up in trying to figure out all these different things, and I'm just going to focus on what I know at this point. Like, that's all I can do because I'm way behind on all this stuff. And it's late in the season. And there's no way I'm going to be out there on the field for 70% of the snaps and know all the different plays and what I'm supposed to do. So I've got my package that I'm in there on, running plays, things like that, and that's it. That's what I'm going to know.
Right.
And then year two, you get more and more acclimated into year three where it's like, okay, I got Nick next to me, and he's got everything. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. This is my year to go and lead linebackers and interceptions. I dropped 4 last year, and I also had 2. That's 6 I could have, which would have led the league by 2 in linebackers last year. So that's why I'm incredibly encouraged by Willie Gay, even though the consistency hasn't been there, because he had a unique start to his career when he was already a guy that was like, he needs the reps to play.
And, you know, and it's been probably, I would say, a lack of experience and injuries that have been the biggest obstacles to him the first 2 years. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, it seems like this entire offseason has been a completely healthy one for him, I think both mentally and physically. He seems in a much better place than he's been the last couple of seasons. And you see that on the field. I mean, you just see him moving with, I think, a great deal more confidence. I think certainly quickness. You're seeing him in the right positions that maybe he wasn't always in before. You know, in their indoor practice the other day, you know, he had an interception against Mahomes in the red zone, in the end zone, and it was a Mahomes no look, and Willie didn't fall for it. I mean, he was right where he's supposed to be, and he makes the interception, and you know, and Pat goes, "Hey, good play."
Yeah.
You see that more and more with Willie out there, and I mean, that's what gives me pretty good confidence that I think he's going to have a good season. This could be the breakout year for him.
It matters if you have playmakers on the field, right, both offensively and defensively. But I'm a bigger believer in that, eliminating holes rather than acquiring elite players is a bigger deal in building a defense 1 through 11 rather than, okay, you've got three amazing players and eight guys that are just like, so-so, versus you've got 11 guys and there's no real hole, but there's also not, you know, this stud player out there. And that, to me, is what the Chiefs hopefully did in the offseason, was you took away some of the deficiencies and the holes that were there, and you went from bad or below average to just average / could be good. And I think you make a bigger impact going from bad to average than you do from good to elite, if that makes sense.
And if we're talking about the one hole that might be there in the linebacker group, and it's not even specific to linebacker, because you know you are going to be in sub packages a lot, it's going to be that strong side backer that's covering the tight end in that situation, because Elijah Lee's probably going to start there. I think he's the most experienced. He's got probably the best skill set for it. And going up against Travis Kelce is not the best barometer about how he's going to be against the typical NFL tight end.
Trial by fire, though, man.
But Elijah Lee, I think, is a quality linebacker for a situation like that. I mean, especially when you pair him with the other two guys. I mean, and if that's the role, and if you've got sub packages and you're using, you know, I mean, I think they've got some safeties who can do that too. But that's going to be the challenge, is, you know, how do you tackle that? Because otherwise, I think that, this linebacker group thinks going to be pretty good.
Yep. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back, wrap up this hour with Matt Derrick next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
That's a clown take, bro.
On Sports Radio 810.
All right, Matt Derrick, Chiefs Digest. What time do you think we'll see at Chiefs Digest your first 53-man roster projection?
My goal is 3:00.
3:00 today. Okay, so that gives me an hour to do all the stuff around the house that I need to do, and then
Chiefs
Digest.
And then you can mock and
of course
ridicule me on Twitter.
Just call me and read it to me during that time?
Probably not. No.
What if I still click it?
I can show you to it now. Draft. Are you not able? All 59 people that I still have on the roster.
You're not going
to
be in a place where you could read it.
I just would like for Matt to read me his stories.
You want an audio book from Matt on his website?
Yeah, I really do.
There will be at least one player that you will say, "I cannot believe that you have that guy in the roster."
Ooh, okay. Wow. That's a tease.
All right. Interesting. Tyreek Hill makes this Chiefs roster. So I cannot believe you've got Tyreek Hill on the roster.
Man, I forgot to edit that.
You idiot.
Seems like an oversight.
Thank you, Matt. Daniel Luss next.